Alive and Kicking with Claire McKenna on News Talk.
Now, Tara Rafter, also known as the Navigation Coach, is a master NLP practitioner, a transformation coach, and a speaker. And what a motivating speaker she is. When we had her on in January, the response was phenomenal. So we had to have her back, and I'm delighted to say she joins me in studio now. Tara, you're welcome back.
Thanks so much. We're back. It's lovely to see you.
Got such an amazing reaction to the last time you were on. We were talking about, you know, why we don't need New Year's resolutions, what's a good mindset to bring into the new year. And people really were able to identify with what you were saying about content is the new success, and to just be able to go to sleep at night and feel like you had a good day, a good enough day, and that you woke up the next day looking forward to what was ahead, that is success.
Yeah, completely. And, you know, I had so many messages as well about it. People going, oh my God, I never thought about it like that. Peace is the new success. Yeah, there's a lot to be said for it. There really is. Yeah.
So we thought we better have you back, because here we are now in spring, which is lovely. There's so much hope in the brighter mornings and we all feel a bit more energized. So we're here for a little reminder about how we stay on track, because it can be great. We can see something like the clip we shared on Instagram of that interview, or listen to that interview, or read a book and go, right, that's it.
Yeah.
And we start off on this road, and then before you know it, we're back in the comfort zone, which perhaps isn't serving us. So is that very normal?
So normal. And you know, it's a great time of the year to be back on chatting about it, because I find even with my one-to-one clients, they will be gung-ho for the first few months, and then we slip back into the patterns that we're so familiar with. And then we start telling ourselves the story that, you know, oh my God, I'm a failure, and why did I even start? And I knew I wouldn't be able to do it. And this stage of the year is a really good time to kind of realign and reflect. And it's perfect to be back in the chair with a fresh mug of tea to just touch base, I think, again. I think it'd be really helpful. Yeah.
So what are the top reasons that we get off track?
Yeah. And it's so funny because I work with people all over the world, and it never ceases to amaze me how similar humans are. It's usually one of these five, right? And see if you're listening, if you've made a mug of tea, if this is helpful for you, because you won't be feeling so alone in it. Usually it's a lack of the clear why. So whatever it was that you were deciding to do, if we didn't drill down far enough into it from an emotional perspective, in terms of why we want to achieve this, you know, what difference is it going to make to our lives? How will we show up in the world in a different way? What difference is it going to make to the people around us? If that's not clear enough, there won't be enough of an emotional buy-in.
Now, I struggle with this one a little bit. I remember going to a personal trainer.
Yeah.
And he was like, but why do you want to do it? And I was like, well, I want to feel fit and healthy, but why? And I was like, well, and I just remember he kept, no matter what answer I gave.
And why and why and why.
Yeah. And in the end, I was like, I just want to, okay? Yeah. So how do we drill down and know what's really underneath it all?
Yeah. Sometimes, like I know for me, when I thought about pushing forward in different areas of my life, so even if we take your health and wellness journey, right? So often it's things like, I want to be able to go out the front and kick football with my son, that I want to have the energy to do that. When I think about him turning 21, or please God, on his wedding day, and I want someone to say to him, you know, how do you remember your mam? What way do you remember her? I want him to remember me being in good form and kicking the football and dancing around the kitchen and having a laugh at something and being energetic in myself. And I think when you come at it from that perspective, it changes it.
Yeah, and that is far more motivating.
Isn't
on
it?
The dark evenings when you don't want to go for the walk, or you don't want to go to the gym class. You're thinking, no, come on, I want to be able to still be around to see my grandkids, or I want to be a fun mom. I thought you were going to say on his wedding day, people would say, is that your mom?
She is amazing. What is her secret?
So you have to get your why. You have to find that out.
Yeah, humans are very emotional. If we're going to bail, you know, we're much less likely to do it if there's an emotional bond to whatever it is that we think of. And if it's something like somebody that you love, their little image is going to pop up in your head, and you will be more likely to kick yourself back into touch if you're thinking about falling off the wagon.
Yeah. Okay. So get to your why and just keep asking.
Yeah. Why until they cry? Someone says that. So it's like peeling an onion. It's why and then why and then why and then why. And if you can bring it down to a level, you know, where you can feel it in the bottom of your belly, that's how you know that you've reached the why.
Okay.
And that if you thought about veering off, that would probably be the thing that would bring you back. Okay.
And on those days where you're not motivated, you turn to that, and that might just give you that little push.
Yeah, it's one of the mechanisms, definitely.
Good.
Another thing I see people falling off all the time is all or nothing thinking. So this is called cognitive distortion. And sometimes you'll hear qualities like perfectionism in people, that they either, it has to be absolutely out of this world, or they won't even start. And that can be something that really holds people back. I would see that with people a lot. And I sometimes use the example, even though it's so simple, of if you got a puncture on one tire of the car, would you go into the kitchen and get the bread knife and slash the other three? And people say no, because that would be demented. So we either want, you know, we can sabotage ourselves. Sometimes we fall off and we're like, oh, forget about it, you know. So ask yourself, even as you're listening to me talking, do you have an all or nothing approach or attitude to it? Does it have to be completely 100,000,000% perfect, or you're going to kick it to the curb? That is a reason that an awful lot of people stop. I would see it in terms of, you know, putting something out on social media or starting a business, or they won't do it unless, you know, the fonts are perfect and the colour is amazing. And so often people don't even notice that stuff. Like, you know, that expression, done is better than perfect.
And that's so interesting. And I think I heard somebody speak recently about addiction, but yeah. I think it'll carry on. It'll carry for any example, that just because you have a slip doesn't mean you've gone right back to square one.
No.
Just because you have a bad day or a bad morning or a slip up, you haven't gone all the way back to ground zero. You can still pick up again and you're still on the journey.
Yeah, of course. And you never really go back to ground zero, because whatever little bit you've done, you've probably moved up to level one. So now you've experienced it a tiny bit. So I often say to people, the version of you that's about to start again isn't the same version of you that started at the beginning, because you've learned something along the way. Even if it was how not to fail or what not to do, you have excelled and progressed just as a result of trying.
Yeah, and I was doing my breathwork teacher training recently at the weekend, and I got talking to one of the other people at the event, and you know, she was saying that she was going to try and host a few events, but she was really nervous, and what if, you know, only a couple of people showed up? But I was like, you know, is that not what we've been doing here in the class? And we've been doing it for two people, and you can really focus and you can see their bellies going up and down. When you have a bigger group, you can't. And look at Joe Wicks, he often talks about starting with two people just showed up. We often think it has to be, you have to sell out
arenas,
the Aviva Stadium before you're a success. But once you're showing up with your flyers outside Super Value and meeting people, you've no idea what impact you're having. Small is okay.
Small is more than okay. I always say, if you're trying, you're winning.
Yeah, I love that. So we don't need an all for nothing. We just need to be giving it a go.
100%. Right. The third one is, the goals are either too big or too vague. And I see this all the time. So people will say, I want to be happier, I want to be healthier, I want to be a better friend, I want to be a good enough mom. That's all wonderful, but your brain hasn't a clue what you're on about. So if we simplify it, it's kind of like going in, ordering a cup of coffee and standing at the counter and saying to the person, how's things? Can I get a hot beverage? And should they be looking at you with a menu of 48 things behind them? And they'd say, you know, hello, would you like to sit in or would you like to take it out? And they would start to ask questions in order to make it more specific. Your brain is exactly the same way. If we make something really vague or too big, the brain doesn't know where to start. It doesn't know what step one is, and it just feels completely overwhelmed, and then it's gone. We're not going to even bother trying. So making sure that it isn't too big or too vague is something huge. The fourth one is around environments and systems. And I say this to people all the time, because I think it's really important to take this into consideration. We have to make sure that the environment or the systems are supportive of what we're trying to achieve. So whatever the goal is, make sure that if it's, you know, something in the house, that you have whatever equipment it is that you need. Even when we were setting up today, we were trying to master the tripod. You know, you're trying to figure out all the time, does the system and the environment fully comfortably support whatever it is I'm trying to achieve? That can be a big one in terms of the reason that people fall off.
And I would often say, like, start really slow. This is how I've started to do it for myself. So say I want to design a website.
Yeah.
The first day I just suss out, what platform am I going to use? Mm. And then I've picked that platform.
Yeah.
That's it for that day.
Brilliant.
And then I'm like, well, I get somebody else. Well, how much would that cost? And I might find a person online. I haven't even contacted them. That's another step.
Brilliant. Yeah.
And I just think you just build it with these really tiny steps. And when you take them, you go, Jesus, am I great? I found a brilliant platform now, and this is going to be great. And just congratulate yourself.
Yeah.
Instead of waiting till the end goal when the website is live, all those little steps along the way are worth it.
They do. And I love the bit that you said there about the praise, because we're all still wanting to be the best boy and the best girl. So give yourself a little bit of praise. You know that old expression, self-praise is no praise?
Not true.
It's cash. So we never praise ourselves. We run ourselves into the ground.
Yeah.
And if someone else praises you, sometimes they have an agenda. They're like, you know, any chance you'd work late on Friday evening. So when we praise ourselves, it's so rare. It's actually quite nourishing for us, you know, to hear ourselves praise ourselves like that. So yeah, that's a big one.
And it sounds cringy that you're going to be like, well done, you're amazing. We're going to be high-fiving ourselves in the mirror. But you have to realise that you're actually running a negative ticker tape. Mm. If you're not making a positive, it's running negative, and that's having an impact on what you're doing.
Yeah, criticism is withering. And I remember hearing that expression before, and it's that word resonates, doesn't it, when you say it? Like, if you speak kindly to flowers, they grow. So when we're being horrible to ourselves inside our heads all the time, it is absolutely having an impact.
Nobody wants to wither.
No, listen, I'm going to be stunning at the wedding, remember?
your eyes on the prize.
Yes.
But the identity that we have for ourselves, this is really important, isn't it?
Yeah, and that's the fifth one I would say is, your brain doesn't know the difference between a truth and a lie. It is listening to the dialogue that you give it all the time. That's all it has to go on. The words that you say and the pictures that it makes from those words. If you're saying things to yourself like, I'm not a morning person, that's not available to me, I could never have that, other people only achieve those things, you are instantly creating an obstacle in your own way. So if there's something there in terms of identity conflict is what it's called, you are contradicting the story, the tape, the record that's playing inside your head, and you'll be veering away from it constantly because the story you're telling yourself, it's not true. So think and notice the thoughts and the language that you're using inside your mind all the time. And just ask yourself, is this moving me further away or closer to what I'm trying to achieve? So they would be the five reasons people fall off.
So how do we rectify those? Yeah.
Okay. And again, you might be on the second mug of tea now listening to me, but it's all good. So again, I like to keep it nice and simple. Five ways that I see to be really, really helpful for people to do it. First one is always future pacing. And, you know, manifestation and all this stuff is all over the place. It's really helpful for the mind to do it. So ask yourself, when I do reach the finish line, whatever that is, what will I see? What will I hear? What will I feel? What will I taste? What will I touch? What will I smell? So we engage all the senses. Joe Dispenza calls them mind movies, and he talks about you walking through and playing this mind movie of whatever the end result is. And he says you should do it daily, preferably morning and evening. And the more time we spend in that new state of being, the more we install it into ourselves. And it's very motivational, instead of being in the day-to-day slog, to keep bringing your awareness, so wherever your focus goes, your energy flows, keep bringing your awareness to the finish line.
And people will say, but I don't know, and I don't know what that's going to be like, but design it, plan it.
Do you remember when we were small? We had brilliant imaginations, and then we got big and we lost everything and got pure serious. Go back to when you were small. We used to have the floor is lava. You know, you'd be diving over the cushions in the sitting room. Tap back into your imagination. And if you have never experienced a version of that reality, no matter what it is, you know, we have the internet now. Google someone who has. Have a role model. Look at someone in the world that has achieved whatever it is that you're trying to achieve, and gather as much data about it as you can so that you can help your imagination to create pictures around what it would look and sound like.
And I know you've just moved into your forever home, a long project, a house build, stress. But I bet there were times you pictured yourself in that kitchen flicking on the kettle, and that kept you going through the stress.
Honest to God, I can't tell you the amount of times I played it in my mind, to the point where when we had to walk around with the electricians, I think they thought I was insane. I was going, put a plug there, put a socket there. That's where my Christmas tree is going. That's where there'll be a lamp. I had walked the house 1,000,000,000 times in my head. I used to smell the plaster on the walls and the fresh paint. I used to hear the echo in the rooms that would be empty. I used to walk through it like it was real. Even when it was a field, I used to say, I'm going for a walk to the new house, and there was sheep inside in it. I was manifesting the bejesus out of it.
And it worked. I love that. That's after giving me chills.
Oh.
What's step two on us sorting ourselves out?
In the neurolinguistic world, there's this thing called well-formed outcomes. So again, your brain is moving away from anything it perceives as pain, and it is moving toward anything it perceives as pleasure, right? That's what it's doing all the time. It has that one job of keeping you alive. So well-formed outcomes, we have to make sure that we are thinking about whatever we're trying to achieve using positive language. So not, I don't want to be drained for the next 12 months. So the brain is like, oh, all I hear is drained, right? Using language like, this year I want to be energized. This year I want to be out kicking the football in the front garden. This year I want to be able to walk to the local shop. So we're using positive, present tense, exciting language for the brain. It's much more likely to respond. Be really specific. So like we said, ordering the cup of coffee. What exactly is it that you want? And when we think about well-formed outcomes, the brain is much more likely to engage. Make sure it's within your control. So again, we talked about systems, making sure that everything is supportive of whatever it is you're trying to achieve. Make sure it's evidence-based. How are you going to know when you're on the way to achieving whatever it is? So how will you know that you're almost able to run your 5K? What would that look like? Is it that you're able to do 2K in a certain amount of time? Or is it, I love those apps, you know, the when your one roars at you, walk now, run now, and you're losing the will to live. Is it when you get to the point with her where she's no longer telling you to walk or you're just doing the warm up and the cool down? What are the little milestones along the way that let you know that you're on the way to the finish line? Humans do really well with that. And then the last one is aligned. Make sure that it is very much aligned to what your values are. We were chatting about the house before we came on air there, and I was saying, it's all about family. Like, I'm surrounded by family. Even when I was thinking about what the house would be like, I was imagining people sitting around at Christmas chatting, and I was thinking, where can the sofa go? And, you know, how can we go out the back? And if it's a nice day, will we be able to see the kids playing out the window? So aligned all the time to what the values are.
What about the poor sheep? Are they displaced?
The sheep are still there. Okay, it's everything is fine with the sheep. Actually, there's baby lambs now, so I can't cope with the cuteness. They're gorgeous.
What about anchoring ourselves through all of this? Because it sounds great, and this is what I really want to help people with. They're like, okay, no, I'm motivated. I hear everything Tara's saying, and I'm going for it. Where do they start with it, and how do they make sure their foundation is solid?
Anchoring in NLP. To be honest, the first time I learned about this, I was like, this is a bit mad, this stuff. But your brain doesn't know the difference between a truth and a lie. And we can practice moving in and out of different psychological states of being. So even as you're listening to me chatting now, bring up a time in your life where you felt bulletproof, where you were on top of the world. Maybe you were just after achieving something huge that you might have thought you couldn't have done, that your self-confidence and your self-esteem and your self-belief was off the charts. You know, those moments that we have in life, bring yourself all the way back into that. And as you bring yourself in, think about what you could see, what you could hear, what you could feel, what you could touch, what you could taste, what you could smell. And as you do it, join your thumb and your forefinger together and anchor in that feeling and all of the senses associated with it into that point in the body. And when we replay that exact time with all those feelings and we anchor it in with a movement within the body, it's called anchoring. And then we can practice it. The brain learns by repetition. So we can go back a time when we're not feeling motivated. Bring in your finger and your thumb together when you've anchored something in through repetition. The body remembers what it represents. And it can be really helpful to help you get back on track.
And people might be overwhelmed by all the things you said and think, well, that sounds really hard. Now, to be sitting and imagining and dreaming and all that, which, you know, when I say it like that seems ridiculous. That sounds like great fun. But it becomes a way of life very quickly, doesn't it? At the start, it is work and it is a new habit and it is like brushing your teeth with your left hand instead of your right. But after a while, you just pick up the toothbrush and you're like, wow, my teeth are brushed. It becomes your life.
Yeah. And if you are thinking that it's overwhelming, well, ask yourself, what type of thoughts are you thinking? Because maybe you're thinking it's overwhelming to be imagining your future. You're probably spending your time and your energy now worrying. They're the thoughts that you're choosing to think. Everything that could go wrong, all the things I don't have, that's a frequency that you're sending out into the world. We have control over what we think about. And if you want to shift your reality, they say the definition of insanity is doing the same thing over and over again and expecting a different result. If you're spending your time and your energy on thoughts that are negative, you can choose right now, listening to me, to every time you notice a thought coming into your awareness that's not helpful, shift it and start thinking and imagining about the future that you're trying to create. You can do that. You're probably spending how many hours in the day worrying about something. You can choose to do something else.
You're just having a redirection. Yeah. Tara, you're just such a font of knowledge. You're going to have to come back again. Where can people find you?
Thenavigationcoach.com.
Love it. Tara Rafter, thank you so, so much.
Not at all. Thanks for having me.
Alive and Kicking with Claire McKenna. Sunday morning at 8 on News Talk.